Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Some are saying that this death is more significant than the death of Osama bin Laden. The death of Iran's top security and intelligence commander in a recent drone strike. Of course, that's not the only news that involves, let's say, the word terrorism. The Islamic State is alive and well, at least in Nigeria, where they have beheaded and shot 11 Christians. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live this Friday afternoon, January the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch about those two events in the news. Pastor Ted Geese joins us after that. We will review the movie Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Terry Mattingly will be alongside. We'll talk about the media, religion, and President Trump. And then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. We've come to the end of the year. We're beginning a new year. We have the best vote getters for soundbite of the week throughout 2019. We brought them forward, five soundbites to play for you. We will play them for you in the last half hour of the program. And as usual, you will pick which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. You can wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, or vote in advance via email, talkback at issuesetc.org, Twitter at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us on this Friday afternoon to talk about two issues, a U.S. drone strike that killed Iran's top security and intelligence commander, and it's the Islamic State's beheading and shooting of 11 Christians in Nigeria, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. Robert, welcome back.
Great to be back, Todd. Thank you.
How significant is the death of Iran's top security and intelligence commander?
You're quite right that it is more significant, more important on the global stage than the deaths of Osama bin Laden and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, both of whom were in hiding and were to a tremendous degree sidelined by the time they were killed. Soleimani, by contrast, has been quite active and is responsible for the deaths of many Americans as well as many Iraqis and Iranians. He was the head of the Quds Force, which was the international arm of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. And so he was the overseer of Iran's global adventurism, which many people don't realize was of a tremendous extent, including not only the fact that Iran was aiding Hezbollah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other jihad terror groups, but Hezbollah has also been active in Mexico at the border working with drug dealers. And this kind of thing was all within Soleimani's purview.
Why was he in Baghdad if he was Iran's security head?
Because he was engineering and coordinating the embassy siege. The Baghdad embassy siege that happened just a few days ago was an Iranian action from start to finish, and Soleimani was doubtless in charge of it. He was in Baghdad to deal with the American response, and he became part of the American response.
Give us some background on that siege of the American embassy in Baghdad.
What happened is, well, it really goes back years because in order to understand it fully, you've got to remember that Iran is a Shiite nation. Shiites are only 10 to 15% of the Muslims in the world, but Iran is 99% Shiite. It's the Shiite country in the world. And Iraq is 55% Shiite and, of course, is right next door. And for years was ruled by a Sunni, Saddam Hussein, who oppressed the Shia. And after the United States removed Saddam Hussein, the Shiites have been nominally in power in Iraq and have been allying increasingly with the Islamic Republic of Iran, since it is, of course, right next door and is the leading Shiite power in the world. And so the embassy siege was, I think, an Iranian-backed operation in order to divert attention away from the demonstrations in both Iraq and Iran against the regime, and to rally support for the Iraqi regime and also the Iranian regime by turning the hatred that the demonstrators have for those regimes against America. And everything was going fine until Trump struck back.
The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, almost immediately called the drone strike disproportionate. What did she mean, and what is your response?
Well, she was saying that the drone strike was an unjustified action. There wasn't enough on the basis of what had happened with the siege of the embassy to justify taking Soleimani out. But it isn't as Soleimani's first action. It was the embassy siege. He has been active for years as the head of the Quds Force and has been responsible for a great deal of international jihad terror activity. And so we're talking about somebody who has been more involved in terror activity than anyone in the world, without any exaggeration, because he was for so long operating the Iranian covert actions around the world and aiding jihad terror groups that the Iranians aided. So the idea that it's disproportionate is based on a willful ignorance of the reality of Iran's global adventure.
What happened recently in Nigeria with the Islamic State and 11 Christians?
They beheaded 11 Christians, and they said that it was in revenge for the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And, of course, Christians in Nigeria have nothing to do with the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, but it shows that the Islamic State, like many in the Islamic world, considers the West and the United States to be Christian entities. Even though, of course, the United States is a secular republic and it's increasingly anti-Christian in many ways, still, as far as the Islamic State goes, Donald Trump is the leading Christian leader in the world. And so if he took out al-Baghdadi to kill some other Christians is appropriate revenge. Also, it must be remembered that the Quran calls for this kind of behavior, and there's no forgiveness in the Quran. There's no end to this endless cycle of revenge and then revenge for the revenge and revenge for the revenge for the revenge.
Why is Islam more generally, but ISIS in particular, obsessed with Christians and Christianity?
Well, I think that the spiritual answer to that, of course, is because Christianity is the true faith and Islam is the enemy of the true faith. You know, there's a very interesting parallelism in Islamic and Christian eschatology. You have the second coming of Christ, and in the Islamic scheme of things, you have the Mahdi returning to the world and Jesus coming back and breaking the cross, killing the pigs and abolishing the jizya, which means destroying Christianity, essentially, and Islamizing the world. And so the Antichrist in Christianity corresponds to the picture of Jesus' second coming in Islam. And he's the enemy of what Christianity stands for and what Christianity is. So this is something that I think cannot be underestimated. Even if somebody were an atheist and looking at this, they could see that Islam is set up to be the enemy of Christianity in its core text. And, of course, the Quran, the holy book of Islam, denies the crucifixion, the resurrection, the redemption of Christ, the divinity of Christ, and so on, and characterizes the Christians as accursed of Allah for believing those things.
What should the fact that ISIS continues to operate, even after it's been robbed of all of its geographical territory, in places like Nigeria, we've talked about places like Indonesia, what should that tell us about the Islamic State?
The impulse is to restore the caliphate, the caliphate being the sole legitimate government to which all Muslims owe allegiance after the death of Muhammad. There has been no caliphate since 1924, unless you count ISIS. But the loss of territory in one place does not take away the imperative to restore the caliphate and bring Islamic law to the world. And so if they lose in one place, they just have to fight again in another. This is one reason why it's been so difficult and so rare around the world in human history for anybody to stand up to the jihadis, because there's no end. There's no surrender. There's no give. You can beat them once and they'll just try again later, because their understanding of the war they're fighting is based on religious imperatives that are in their holy book. And so they think they are fulfilling the will of Allah by fighting against infidels. This is not something they're going to give up or be discouraged over some setback.
Should we expect more retribution, or, as you said, payback for the death of terrorist leaders?
Yeah, and of course the Democratic Party today is very upset and saying you're just going to make them mad and there are going to be people who are killed because of this. And in one sense, that's likely true, because the cycle of revenge never ends for the Islamic jihadis. But in the other sense, it's based on a willful ignorance here again of the fact that they were fighting us already. They hated us already. They were making war against us already. It's not as if this has just started with the embassy siege. And so the idea that everything would have been okay and there would have been peace and harmony if we had just not struck and killed Soleimani, it's naive.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The History of Jihad, From Muhammad to ISIS. You'll find a link to Jihad Watch and to Robert's books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Robert, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Ted Geese joins us. It's a long-awaited conclusion, not to the Star Wars universe, but at least to a part of the saga, this Skywalker part of the saga. We'll review the movie Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. He says it's a roller coaster ride, probably will be made into a roller coaster ride, and as a storyline, kind of rickety. We'll find out what he means after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.